Tucson, good morning to you. Happy Thursday, October the 15th. Welcome into the 1030 The Voice studios. I'm your host, Zach Yenser, for this hour of Tipping Point, daily in-depth news, conversation, and talk about the people, ideas, and issues shaping Tucson's future. Good show ahead today. Here's the lay of the land, and then we'll jump right in. In just a second, we will spend the first half of our hour with Nick Pearson, a candidate for the Tucson Unified School District Governing Board. We'll talk a little bit about 208, you and I, Proposition 208 in the third segment, on our way to welcoming in Devin Underwood, the principal and founder of the Talent Store, for our weekly segment, Workforce Pivots, getting Tucson's workforce and employers back to work well here out of COVID-19. So that's our conversation today. For all of 2020, the TUSD race has been one of the most important for me to prioritize on the show, because I think it's any election year a critical election for our community. Even more critical this year because there are three openings on the board, three open seats on the board for a variety of reasons. There are six candidates on the ballot. There are seven. If you consider one who is Kristen Manea, I think, I forget how you say her last name, but she is a write-in, so there's seven total, but six on your ballot. We've worked through four of them here in recent days and weeks on Tipping Point. Nick Pearson is our fifth conversation, our fifth candidate. Nick, welcome into studio. How are you?
Well, thank you for the invitation, Zach. I'm happy to share my views.
Yes. So I'm going to ask you, this is the first time you've been on this show as a candidate, and I'm going to ask you the question I ask all candidates. You'll get a kick out of this because it is the name of this show, Nick. What was your tipping point moment? What was that moment where you went, okay, that's it. I'm in the race. I gotta give it a go. I'm the right guy for the job. What got you in?
Well, in the past, back in 2018, after the November election, I started looking for candidates, quality candidates, because many offices lack quality candidates to run. And so one of the areas I was looking at is to find people to run for the school board. It's a very important position in the community. It's a volunteer position, but I believe it's one of the most important ones in the community. So having not been able to find anybody, I threw myself into the pit, I suppose.
you are the one you were looking for, or something like that.
I guess so. Yeah, that's a tough one.
I was on your website this morning, just kind of getting ready and thinking through our conversation, and you have a list of 6, 7, 8 really issues that you were talking about on the trail. For this morning, what are the top two or three when you were looking for candidates early on, when you were the candidate you were looking for? What are the top two or three things that you said this is the district needs to change or form to move forward?
Well, Zach, there are so many issues in the district that have been evolving, I suppose, and developing a culture in the district that really needs to change. I want to focus on the students, because at the end of the day, that's our most important priority. We have to prioritize their academic performance. We have to make the steps and the changes necessary to help all the students in the district, because a student that comes out of high school prepared for the job world is going to become more desperate. So we have to answer that call in the community to bring them up. We have to bring all of the students up. There's no one that out there that their performance can't be improved. A track coach, if the metric is say 20 seconds or 19 seconds for a 220, and the student starts out at the beginning of the year, student athlete starts out at maybe 25 seconds and improves to 24, that's a big improvement. So we need to do that. We need to concentrate on helping all of the students achieve better in their academic.
Nick, we jumped right into the issues, but one of the things I've heard said about you as a defining feature of your candidacy is you're a business guy. You've run business, been in business. Who is Nick Pearson in terms of what is your background? What do you think that brings to the board? Should you sit on the seat?
Well, one of the most important things I bring is my background. I mean, I don't know a lot of people that grew up on the border and were raised on Indian reservations, and we're a minority all during their kindergarten through grade school years or high school. And so I bring that perspective, and we taught our mom to speak English. Our, you know, as kids growing up, my mom didn't speak English. My parents are Mexican descent. And so I bring that perspective. So I have a perspective that a lot of people don't have. And certainly the friends that I grew up on the cells and the White Mountain Apache Indian Reservation were great people. And so I bring that perspective. And then I've lived in big cities, and I love Tucson, and my family does as well. So I've got grandchildren. I've got children that are very successful. They'll probably outperform, you know, what I've been able to do. And the grandkids, that's really our treasure, and that's why I'm doing it. The children and grandchildren of all the residents of the district want the best for their children. And if we don't provide the best education for them, if we don't lift them up to levels that they haven't been achieving in the past, we're going to suffer in the future.
We're with Nick Pearson this morning, a candidate for the Tucson Unified School District Governing Board for one of the three open seats. When we come back from a break here in a couple minutes, Nick, I would love to dive in with you on how do we raise that performance, your thoughts on classroom instruction spending, the DSEG case, and high administrative costs. These are all items you mentioned. But before we go to break, in a minute or two, the TUSD Governing Board that is governing now is pushing off hybrid education until at least in November or later this month. This was a decision that came out last week. If you were on the board today, would you have pushed for school to have started already? Do you think the current board is doing it just right? Do you think it should be pushed out further? If you were on the board today trying to get kids back in classroom from COVID-19, what would you do similarly or differently?
Well, I think based on data that is coming out, I would make it a matter of choice. There's parents that want to have the kids, their kids in school. If you look at other countries, the death rate is very, very low per million of residents in those countries. And so I would have it as a matter of choice. There are certainly comorbidities that a lot of our excellent teachers have that we need to be cognizant of. At the same time, the risk to students is young people is low. So we have to take into consideration, and I'd give them choice. So we would do a hybrid model, and a lot of countries, I understand, I'd like to learn more about that, but they've opened, and they're not having serious problems. So,
yeah, I just wanted to, I mentioned a couple different dates, and I wanted to clarify. Dr. Trujillo was recommending delaying the start of date for hybrid in-person learning until November 12th. And so we're kind of in this look and watch period now for the next month or so, figuring out when we start. Other districts are starting sooner. I think Mesa school districts have already started hybrid.
Right.
TUSD seems to be on the more conservative side, not politically, but in terms of waiting longer.
Right.
And it sounds like, Crystal Foster, the board president, Nick, said that there are some districts who may have the opportunity to make that choice rather than an overarching district policy. Make it geographic, make it by choice. There seems to be some movement in that direction. It sounds like you would support that.
Oh, I certainly would, because you have to look at the peripheral damage that's occurring. I mean, when the kids that are growing up right now, they have all these fears. I mean, if they play with their friends, they're going to die. If their parents leave the house, they're going to die. So that obviously is harmful in the to the community, and the focus needs to be on trying to get back to some type of normalcy as soon as we can.
Nick Pearson, candidate for the TUSD Governing Board. Tom, let's go to our first break here of the hour. When we come back, again, we'll talk about some of those issues that Nick has brought up: high administrative costs, classroom instruction spending. How do we make higher performing schools? We'll cover that and more on the other side of a short break. Don't go away. We're just getting started.
With our workforce dispersed to home and the challenges of high unemployment, it's even more difficult to find the right people with the right skill sets. Leading companies are planning how to rebuild their teams and looking for critical talent now. Having a trusted and dedicated talent acquisition partner will give you an edge and have positive impacts on time to hire, retention, and your employment brand. Learn more by visiting yourtalentstore.com and tune into Tipping Point every Thursday morning for advice and insights around workforce pivots.
Why I love where I live. It's a brand and movement that began here in Tucson to spark gratitude and celebrate the good things about where we live. Like so many businesses, they had to make changes to their hours and operations during COVID-19. But I'm so excited to announce that they are now reopened for regular hours. Go to whyiloveWhereILive.com right now to see all the new products and offerings and plan a visit to their location at the MSA Annex on Cushing off the I-10 and Avenida del Convento. Why do you love where you live? Here we go again. The Tucson summer heat is upon us, straining our AC units and our budgets as energy costs go up, and we hope we can get just one more year out of our air conditioners. But did you know changing your AC system out now could drop your power bill by half? All while getting 10 years of warranties and guarantees. The team at Ultra Air Conditioning can get you taken care of with super competitive cost to install and up to $3,000 in rebates. They also have great financing options available. Don't wait. Call today, 392-8008. Tucson, if you're like me and my family, COVID-19 has made us take a hard look at our finances and financial planning. If that's you too, give my friends at MassMutual a call at 274-3749. They can help you navigate through these challenging times, integrate your insurance and investments with a purpose and a plan, and create a holistic financial strategy that works for you. Call them at 274-3749 to get started. 25 years ago, the University of Arizona took a bold step of acquiring an industrial park in southeastern Pima County and transforming it into a university research park. This year, we celebrate 25 years of success at the UA Tech Park. Whether it's the 20 new startups at the University of Arizona Center for Innovation or the new tech park at the Bridges that just opened up, we're celebrating this anniversary year by telling the stories and ideas of Tech Parks Arizona, moving innovation at the speed of business. And we're back, Tucson. Welcome into the 1030 The Voice studio. We're continuing our conversation here on Tipping Point with Nick Pearson, a candidate for the Tucson Unified School District Governing Board. We got to hear a little bit more about your background, your story, your platform. We want to dive in on a little bit more of the issues. I want to start, Nick, if it's okay with you, talking about high administrative costs at TUSD. There was an audit done probably 4 or 5 years ago at this point that showed TUSD spending, exponentially higher dollars per student on administrative costs compared to peer districts. We're the second largest, district in Southern Arizona, I think the second largest in the state, if I have my facts right on that. Has that needle moved, Nick? When you look at the budget, when you look at where TUSD is, have we gotten better on administrative spending, or could we do more in your mind?
Well, we certainly could do more than administrative spending. It's still very high. I mean, you take just the gap between the peer group districts, that gap would be enough to put another $20,000 back into the classroom. And I think a lot of the changes that have occurred in terms of moving the needle back to lower spending, now they're at about 51, maybe close to 52%. And that still leaves a gap about 7% from their peers. That gap has been forced upon them because of declining enrollment. And I've heard that they've added a lot of administrative positions just in the last 6 months. And when you look at what's been happening in the district, I know I've been hearing reports that as early as a couple of weeks ago, they were letting go at least one teacher at every work site. And supposedly that was going to help offset the drop in it. Part of the drop in enrollment, but we don't know right now what the total drop in enrollment, but it could be 5%, 10%. And when we find out the numbers here at the end of the month, beginning of November, the new board's going to be facing a whole pot full of problems specifically related to the finances, and nobody's really talking about it. They're avoiding that, but it's a reality, and somebody's ox is going to get gored. we certainly need a lot of community support in doing the right thing.
You know, Nick, I think you're right. I haven't heard enough about it. And if our listeners didn't get to listen to my interview with Crystal Foster on Monday, she said the same thing in the Star about, hey, like, we're covered for this year because of CARES Act and, you know, like stimulus dollars. But next year, when the state looks at our enrollment and gives us dollars based on that, we might be in a lot of trouble. And I went, I haven't heard that before. So had Crystal on. That's either here nor there, but you're right. And very few people are talking about it. And I wanted to go there next on the decline in enrollment. I remember kind of the H.T. Sanchez days, first days of Superintendent Trujillo. There was just this brain drain out of TUSD. There was just this declining enrollment. It's felt like the tide has turned, or at least we're hearing less about thousands of students leaving the district. Is it getting better in your mind? And if not, what do we got to do to keep more students choosing TUSD?
Well, the decline in enrollment certainly hasn't stopped. Historically, for the last 17 years, they've lost 1,000 students a year. This year, we're looking at 2,500, 5,000. I mean, you could be looking at a 10% drop in enrollment or more this year. We don't know yet. So the factors that are causing that drop in enrollment are still there. Parents are voting with their feet. They're going to the Vail School District. They're going to the Amphi School District. They're going to other charter schools. So the we have to create an atmosphere across all the school sites where the families feel good about sending their kids there. And that's the bottom line. We have to work with the teachers. We have to create an environment where everyone is respected. One of the big problems we have is the with the substitute teachers. They're really not respected. They're kind of treated like second-class citizens in the district from the reports that I've heard. And we certainly have to improve that. We have to improve benefits for them, because certainly when somebody is, say they've finished college and they're not sure if they want to go into teaching, their first impressions with the school is going to determine whether they want to return on a full-time basis with that school. And certainly retention of our current teachers is a high priority, and recruitment is a high priority. So those factors all enter into improving the quality of our schools and touching the kids and lifting them up from subpar performances, because just like a coach can get the best performance out of the team, a teacher likewise can do the same thing with the students. And the first thing that has to be shown is that the teachers care, that the community cares on the outcomes of the students.
Nick, we are at the bottom of the barrel in our country. I think we're in the bottom two or three of what we pay our teachers. And a lot of people say, hey, one of the first steps to both recruiting and retaining great teachers is raising their pay. TUSD did raise teacher pay a little bit within the last year, I heard. It was, in fact, proportionally kind of a significant pay raise, if I'm remembering that correctly. Certainly Proposition 208 is on the ballot for this reason. As you are approaching the possibility of being on the governing board, how would you tackle that challenge of making sure that the right amount of dollars is getting to the right people in the right ways in TUSD? Are there ways to raise teacher pay that already exist in the district that are not being done?
Well, I think a lot of the, just looking at it as an outsider at the moment, a lot of the decisions in the district are made to benefit those in charge. And I think a lot of the problems in the district, perhaps the environment in the district, perhaps results from people in the district being defensive about their positions. In other words, if a person is hired because of who they know, as opposed to their qualifications, they might be a little bit more defensive about their particular position. So I think that if we, show the community that our teachers are underpaid and that they need to be improved, then we can gather support to improve the pay so that it's very competitive. I want our teachers to have competitive pay. My dad was a teacher. My wife was a teacher. I've got a brother that's a teacher. So this is all real close to me in terms of that. And I want to have the most competitive pay for our teachers. I want to have a quality environment for the students so that the parents want to send their kids there. I want to lift up the performance just like a coach would. A coach wants to improve, even if it's just 1 second. And still that student comes in at the end of the race. That student is improved. And that minor improvement needs to be emphasized. Not necessarily that they're going to, how many merit scholarships you have at the school, but that the student from the beginning of the year to the end of the year improved.
Nick Pearson, candidate for TUSD Governing Board. We've got about 2.5 minutes. You've mentioned teacher pay and the need to have competitive pay. Those who say yes to Proposition 208 would say that would solve the problem. Do you agree? Are you in favor of Proposition 208?
I'm not in favor of the way that 208 is set up. One, the money behind 208 is coming from out of state. I would rather have seen that come from local initiatives where we know how that is going to work out. There's a lot of fingers in the pot before the money gets to the teachers. Just like today, the money from the state goes to the district. The district has their fingers on the money before it goes to the teacher. So the district has the control of that.
Nick Pearson, let's do this. I think I've covered most of what we wanted to cover, but it's always hard to cover everything. Pearson for TUSD.com, P-I-E-R, Pearson, the number 4, TUSD.com is where people can go and find you, right, to contact you, donate, volunteer, all that stuff here in the closing days.
Absolutely, Zach, and we're always available to answer questions, and if you want to have us meet with you, that would be fine too.
How does your name appear on the ballot, by the way?
It's Joe, N-I-C-O-L-A-S, Pearson.
Perfect.
That's my birth name, so.
Perfect. Just wanted to make sure that people would put two and two together, that that's the name on the ballot that they're listening to right now.
Yes.
Perfect. Nick, been really looking forward to this conversation. Thanks for the opportunity to talk about the issues. Again, I think it's an important race. It's an important institution. We've got to get TUSD right over the long term to be a thriving region. So I think this is one of the key races, and appreciate your time this morning.
Well, thank you very much, Zach. Appreciate your input.
Absolutely. Thanks for the time. When we come back from our bottom of the hour break, you and I, Tucson, are going to talk a little bit about Proposition 208 for a few minutes. And then we're going to welcome in Devin Underwood, Workforce Pivot. She's the founder and principal of the Talent Store, helping Tucson's companies and employees get back to work well. That's where we're going after the break. Be right back.
So we've been in Tucson a long time. The services we offer for our customers are film developing, prints of any size. We work with film, we work with transparencies, we work with digital files, just about anything that you can make a print from. Our goal in servicing our clients is always to produce the best work possible.
Jones Photo, 520-327-9521.
Here we go again. The Tucson summer heat is upon us, straining our AC units and our budgets as energy costs go up, and we hope we can get just one more year out of our air conditioners. But did you know changing your AC system out now could drop your power bill by half? All while getting 10 years of warranties and guarantees. The team at Ultra Air Conditioning can get you taken care of with super competitive cost to install and up to $3,000 in rebates. They also have great financing options available. Don't wait. Call today, 392-8008. Why I love where I live. It's a brand and movement that began here in Tucson to spark gratitude and celebrate the good things about where we live. Like so many businesses, they had to make changes to their hours and operations during COVID-19. But I'm so excited to announce that they are now reopened for regular hours. Go to whyiloveWhereILive.com right now to see all the new products and offerings and plan a visit to their location at the MSA Annex on Cushing off the I-10 and Avenida del Convento. Why do you love where you live? Support for this program comes from Vantage West Credit Union, a member-owned financial institution dedicated to the mission of making this community too strong to fail. Banks own you, you own us. Vantage West, member NCUA. Tucson, we are back and here in the 1030 The Voice studio. Tipping Point, daily in-depth news conversation and talk about the people, ideas, and issues shaping Tucson's future. We just finished with our fifth of six conversations with the six TUSD candidates on the ballot. There are seven in the running. One is a write-in, but the six candidates on the ballot have been here in studio with us. Nick Pearson was this morning's guest. Sadie Shaw is our last one, just how the schedule worked. Next week, I think the 29th, I'll have to look at that. But Sadie Shaw is our last one coming up in the coming weeks. Yes, on the 29th. So not next week, but the week after that, we'll hear from Sadie Shaw. You can go back to kvy.com/podcasts, Google Play Music, Apple, iTunes. You can go to all of that and catch up on our last five conversations. And one of the issues that came up, I just want to speak to it real quick. We'll probably cover it more, even more in depth here as ballots are going out and being filled out. But I was finally able to clarify in my head the big question I have about Proposition 208. And this is the proposition on the ballot where there will be it's a 3% income tax on income over $250,000 if you are an individual, $500,000 if you are a couple. Any income over that is taxed 3%. It's expected to bring in about $830 million of new education funding every year. It's a citizens' initiative. It's something that the legislature can't play with, can't tamper with. It's there. It's carved out, and so that's the simple explanation of it. It's on the ballot. It was kicked off for a period, then a judge put it back on, so it's on our ballot for this fall. And I've finally clarified my big question. And it's a question for both the yes on 208 campaign and the no on 208 campaign. And the question is this: what comes next? What comes next? And I put this on my Facebook, and I've gotten some really interesting comments on it. And here's what I put, and you can let me know if you agree with this or not. I said, if you're in favor of 208, Proposition 208 will raise about $830 million annually, income tax volatility aside, about $100 million less than proposed in 2018. So this is kind of the second whack at it, if you will. And Invest in Ed was the version of this that was on the ballot in 2018. The voters declined to vote for it, to pass it. I said, if the ASU estimate above is right, that Arizona likely needs to spend at least $4 billion more annually on education, both the K-12 system and higher education institutions. If that is correct, what happens after Proposition 208 passes? Where do we go from here if we've just implemented a new income tax on higher income earners, mainly just for teachers, as opposed to a broader pot of funding for all of the education needs that exist? And I'm scrolling through my Facebook here because there was a really interesting comment from someone in the education space. And they said this, that 208 will only bring us up to about 2012 for where we should be in their minds for funding in Arizona schools. If estimates are truly 2018, that would be impressive. It would not bring us up that far. That really in 2008 and 2009, we had to cut the budget for education and haven't caught up. And so I look at the yes on 208 side, and my question is, what's next? This is not the silver bullet. This is not going to solve the problem. It tackles teacher pay, but nothing else. We're going to have this conversation again. Proposition 301 was extended through 2040, which is a half cent sales tax that was passed. I think it was in 2000 that goes to education. We've got some of these streams of income, but we are still behind the curve. This is not the end. So where do we go from here? And I think my point there is I think that there was a broader base of funding that could have been developed. I think both sides of the legislature kicked the can down the road on this one. We can't go back to high income earners and say, "Oh, we're gonna do this again." We just did it if Proposition 208 passes. So what comes next? And then I said this: if you're against 208, if not 208, what are the ways you'd prefer to see investment in education happen? We heard from Nick Pearson today, just a few minutes ago. My family is full of teachers. We need to pay our teachers more. We're at the bottom of the barrel. R's, D's, and I's overwhelmingly say Arizona does not fund its education enough. Broad-based support for figuring out how do we invest in education. So if that all is true, and Proposition 28 is not the answer, what is the answer? So I'm not here declaring who's right or wrong. I'm saying, as I've watched the debates, as I've watched what happens, my lingering question is, what comes next? And I think we're in a position with education in the state of Arizona where nobody has a plan. Nobody has a plan. Nobody has a, there was someone who posted and said, this is good because Proposition 123, which also funds education, expires in 2025. And I said, well, what happens after 2025? Well, I don't know. And my point here was not to prove someone right or wrong on my Facebook here. You can go back and look at this if you're friends on Facebook. I think I made this public too. It's that I don't think that either side is thinking, what is the 10, 15, 20-year plan to do this right? There's no plan. We're either saying no to the Band-Aid that's on the ballot, or we're saying yes to the Band-Aid that's on the ballot. But there's no long-term plan. And I think we're missing out on that long-term plan. And frankly, I kind of wish the No on 208 campaign would talk about the long-term plan, would talk about, hey, 208, it's not the right answer. Here's the right answer. I've only heard no. I've only heard no. And so I wanted to get into this a little bit here. I got on my soapbox. I'm stepping off. I have Barney on the line. Barney, I've got a minute literally before I got to go to a break, but I want to get you in. Thanks for calling. You're on line two. Go ahead.
Hello, Zach. Well, I'd be glad to wait through the break because you've asked a number of questions. I'd like to give you some answers, and they won't be done in a minute. But I will tell you one answer that you're saying, what's next? That I can answer in a single word, more. They will, the ones who want more money into education, regardless of how existing money is spent, will always say more. We got a huge teacher raise a couple of years ago. Then they tried something subsequent to that. Now they're trying again. So why don't you go to break, and you're saying you're not hearing any answers from the no crowd as to what the long-term goal is. I'll be glad to tell you.
Barney, I want to take you up on that. I have a guest after the break. Let's do this. I've got a window on tomorrow's show starting at 9:35.
I'll call you then.
About 12, 15 minutes. We can just do this. I'd love for you to be that guest for that segment, and let's get into it. Because I'm asking the question. I'm not saying I have all the answers, and I'd love to talk this through with you when we have more time.
I shall call you, my friend. Thanks for the opportunity.
Barney, I appreciate you calling. Thanks so much.
Take care.
And I invite you listening. If you want to call in and join Barney and I on that conversation, let's do it. Let's have that chat. I am in learning mode. I'm asking the big 30,000-foot question. I've done some of my own research, but I'm asking the question, and I think you have answers. Let's go to our last break, Tom. And when we come back...
Well, before we do, can I pose a question or two, sir?
Can we do it for tomorrow's show? Well, you're not here tomorrow.
I'm not here tomorrow.
Okay, 30 seconds. Let's do it.
Well, basically, how is the funding structured for our local schools? Does most of it come from the feds? Does most of it come from the state? Most of it come from property taxes? It seems to me that we would want to be able to run our schools the way we want to, but if the feds have the biggest part of the pie as far as funding, they're going to be the ones that's going to be dictating how things are done, and that doesn't sound right to me.
Tom, it's a good question. The state legislature has worked to provide some level of local control. It is local, it is state, and it is federal. Barney and I will talk about that tomorrow. We're going to go to our last break. When we come back, Devin Underwood is on from the Talent Store talking workforce pivots. Let's do it.
Hi, my name is Shanae with HR Resolve. Whether you are a self-employed individual or hire up to 35 employees, HR Resolve is your small business corporate office. We are locally owned, providing everything from general administrative and accounting services to payroll services and hiring. I started out just me, grew my company right here in Tucson, and want to help you succeed too. Call me and the HR Resolve team at 520-867-8384 to get started.
Hey Tucson, Zach Yenser here, and I'm excited to celebrate a business that is near and dear to my heart and making it through COVID-19 successfully. Decibel Coffee Works is excited to announce they are open again for your business from 7 a.m. to 1 p.m. at the MSA Annex, just a block west of the 10 on Cushing and Avenida del Convento. Come on by for a quick cup of quality roasted hot or cold brew, or get free shipping when you order two or more bags of coffee online. Head to decibelcoffeeworks.com for more info.
With our workforce dispersed to home and the challenges of high unemployment, it's even more difficult to find the right people with the right skill sets. Leading companies are planning how to rebuild their teams and looking for critical talent now. Having a trusted and dedicated talent acquisition partner will give you an edge and have positive impacts on time to hire, retention, and your employment brand. Learn more by visiting yourtalentstore.com and tune into Tipping Point every Thursday morning for advice and insights around workforce pivots.
25 years ago, the University of Arizona took a bold step of acquiring an industrial park in southeastern Pima County and transforming it into a university research park. This year, we celebrate 25 years of success at the UA Tech Park. Whether it's the 20 new startups at the University of Arizona Center for Innovation or the new tech park at the Bridges that just opened up, we're celebrating this anniversary year by telling the stories and ideas of Tech Parks Arizona, moving innovation at the speed of business. Support for this program comes from Vantage West Credit Union, a member-owned financial institution dedicated to the mission of making this community too strong to fail. Banks own you, you own us. Vantage West, member NCUA. Tucson, welcome back. Having great workforce and talent drives market decisions. It helps companies thrive, helps our region thrive, it helps our working families thrive when the ecosystem works. A huge player in that here in town, in my mind, is the Talent Store. Founder and principal Devin Underwood is on with us the remainder of the hour to talk workforce pivots, getting our employees and our companies back to work well. Good morning, Devin. How are you today?
Hey, Zach, how's it going?
Doing well. I'm excited to talk some workforce development with you today, given that we've had a lot of conversation about that on the show as it is. You are getting to work with companies large, medium, and small. You and I are in some of those conversations together. And I want to talk with you about what you're hearing out there about some of the skill positions and some of the things that companies need here in Tucson and how we get there.
Mm-hmm. Do you want to talk about the types of roles that people are having a hard time filling or that are having to move people in for?
Let's do that, yeah.
Okay, yeah. I think that there are, all over the country, and this isn't a Tucson thing. I think we heard it in our meeting, but all over the country, accountants. Isn't that crazy?
Mm-hmm.
All day long, accountants. I used to, back in the day, tell people, you know, that wanted to go back to school, if they talked about nursing, I'd say, go back to school and be a nurse. No matter what age you are, you'll always have a job. I'm almost feeling that way about accountants right now.
Yes.
Because nobody can find them, both internally for companies and then also as CPAs and public accounting. It's just really, really talent short. And then you go into the technology side of it, AI, software development, engineering, software engineering, and then also just hardware engineering and putting all of those pieces together. You go into any of the skilled areas, you know. So let's talk about even electricians. You have electrical engineers. You have electrical engineers that are in construction. You have electrical engineers that are in robotics. You have electrical engineers that are needed in even solar or small components in manufacturing. So there's all kinds of really skilled or niched skilled needs out there that need to be filled right now.
And are you finding that those are being filled by out-of-state job postings, or we're posting those jobs here and we're having to hire from out-of-state? Is that a deficit here in our region?
Yeah, I think those are deficits in general, but definitely here in our region, I think, you know, what Pima Community College is doing is going to probably benefit us in 5 to 10 years. So it's not helping fill the immediate skills gap. So what you're seeing is you've got entry-level skills gaps being filled by what we're doing with workforce development now, but we've got an entire deficit we've created with both our educational system and our workforce development lack of focus 10 years ago, 5 years ago. And so those mid-career, those people who've been doing it for 5 to 10 years and have proven success factors that you can measure, those are who we go out of state to find.
Devin,
that's what companies need. You know, they want people who have done it before and who can jump in and hit the ground.
Right. I'm sure, you know, companies, business leaders listening will go, oh, so that's what's going on. Because it seems like we hear this from a lot of people. You're kind of there to stand in the gap and help find the right talent at the right time for the right team, for the right work. How are you helping Tucson companies, figure out the right talent? And then if it's not here, how do you find it if it's not here? Talk us through any of your tips, advice, insights as you're managing this right now.
Yeah, you know, we do a ton of work in terms of just promoting Tucson in general. And we partner with the Chamber. We partner with Startup Tucson. Startup's going to be launching Remote Tucson. But there's a lot of work to be done in just saying, hey, move here, get here. It's a great place. Ignore the news stories about scorpions, right?
You laugh, but that was a big deal for a company that moved in about a year ago, Devin. No kidding.
I know. Our SEO needs some help. But, so we do a lot of hosting and concierging of people coming in. We happen to be the place a lot of people contact first when we're on Tucson's radar. So I hear from a ton of people who say, hey, I've got my list of the three cities I'm open to moving to. Tucson's on there. Tell me more. And then we have our Trailing Partner Program and Talent Store Now. And Talent Store Now and Trailing Partner really work together. So Talent Store Now is a cohort of employers who are subscribed to our company. We have a bunch of benefits. We have supportive options. We have consulting services for free, resources. And then they also get first dibs on the talent moving in. And so the Trailing Partner Program is us concierging the partner of someone who's relocated here to Tucson. And we help that person find their professional landing. So as we're letting them know about Tucson, we're learning about them, we can then broker or talk to our cohort of employers from Talent Store Now and give them first dibs on these people moving in. And so we're trying to create a synergy for Tucson just becoming the place where you don't just move to, but you land and you get integrated quickly.
Devin, we've got about 3 minutes to go. And if you didn't go there, that's where I wanted to land for the rest of this segment is I am amazed. I had a, whoa, Devin is right moment. I knew you were right, but I was in a meeting, Devin. I went,
I love Devin is right moment.
I do too. And it's like, wow, Devin knows what she's talking about in the sense I heard from some large employers saying, whether the spouse of someone we hire or the partner can find a job here is sometimes a make or break. I'm wondering if companies listening, Devin, realize that if they are bringing someone from out of town or out of city or out of state, if they know the weight of that partner being able to find a job on the decision, it's huge.
It's huge. And it's nearly everything. 73% of households are dual income. So even if you're getting a job that's giving you a major boost pay-wise, if you lose that second income, your family income is still down. And also, let's talk about your spouse or partner or whoever that is not feeling engaged, not feeling like they've found their place. Work is really important to people. And if you can't find your professional landing, and that's a big part of what you're proud of about yourself, you're not going to stay in the city. And Tucson, for better or worse, hides what's out there and what's available. And we have to get better at advertising. We have to get better at talking about the industries. We have to help employers get better at talking about who they are. But in the meantime, we hope the talent store is the place that knows all of that going on and can kind of make those, build those bridges.
For sure. Yeah, imagine you're a company listening and you hire this rock star CTO, high-level accountant, engineering talent, and they're happy, but their partner isn't happy. How long do you think that that rock star employee, it doesn't last?
And it's a huge investment to move people here.
Yes.
So for that to go awry in 6 months is a big deal.
Devin, on our way out here, one more time, can you share where people can find you and can find the trailing partner program and connect up with you to solve these challenges?
Yeah, definitely. Go to yourtalentstore.com. You can access my calendar directly there. Let's chat. We can talk about all of it.
Absolutely. Devin, thank you so much for tackling some of these challenges. And again, I was in a meeting the other day and I went, man, she knows what she's talking about. I'm not just saying that because we're on the radio, Devin. I went, man, I wish more people would listen to Devin because she knows what she's doing. And so that's my encouragement to you today. Give Devin a reach out. If you are a small, mid-size, or large company looking to expand your team, Devin can make sure you have all the pieces right for long-term sustainability and long-term impact here as we head to 2021. Devin, thanks as always, and we'll see you next time.
Thanks, Zach. Have a great rest of your week.
You too. And that does it for us today here on the program. Hugh Hewitt coming up next, Bill Buckmaster after that, as always. When we come back tomorrow, we're going to close out our Friday show talking with George Hammond, economist from the University of Arizona. How are we doing here in the region? What comes next? Financial Friday after that as well. We'll see you then Friday at 9. Take care. Stay healthy.